Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Michelob Ultra presents the Fan Match Challenge, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open, benefiting the first team, Green Valley Ranch. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. Preparing for the defense of their championship, here's Schlereth and Evans.
And we have issued a challenge to all of you great listeners that, hey, we need you to step up, because starting today, of the four shows, we were ranking last when it came to show donations.
Unbelievable.
Which is stunning compared that we were first last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have only one theory. I have only one explanation, and that is people root against greatness. And they're drawn to the underdog and the lovable losers.
Right.
And so I can think of no other perfect comparison than we have become the Patriots of the fan. Stokely and Zach, they're the Browns. Orlando, the Drive, Tyler and D-Mac, you know, they're the Bills. Sandy and Orlando, they're the
Jets,
Cardinals, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know,
struggling.
Teams down on their luck, asking for a little help. Support the underdog. You don't want to root. You don't want to support those big, bad meanies.
Right. And there, you know, the other thing is it's been just a wine fest on the other shows.
Oh, God, hasn't it?
Just whining. Like, just whining about it, you know. Oh, we can't give it to Schlereth. They get everything. They're the golden children. Well, you know, I mean, sorry. Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is. So we've had a couple of people step up, right? Sam stepped up.
Sam stepped up with a $50 donation.
Yep. I think Mickey said he's going to donate $500.
Here's the big thing now. He texted me.
Uh-huh.
Showed me the receipt, copy of the receipt.
Really?
He donated $500.
Wow, Mickey. I love it.
All he was asking in return was your phone number so he could reach out to you respectfully.
Yes.
And perhaps engage in with you a little bit.
Some lighthearted banter.
So right now I have your contact info set to send to Mickey.
Uh-huh.
He has made the donation. He has fulfilled his end of the bargain. Are you prepared to fulfill yours?
Of course.
I can send it?
Yeah, send it away.
Sent.
Okay, there we go.
You will be getting a text from him in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Some text here. The Pats, you're the 6-10 team of the fan. Well, I guess in Denver, 6 wins is something to aspire to. Let's see, one more.
Were the Pats that won, what, 7 championships in 20 years, went to 9, whatever it was, right? I mean, come on, stop.
You guys admitting that you're cheating D-bags? No wonder Stoke has been whining for a year. That's good. That's good, Rich. That's good. I like that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it. Stoke, I mean, what Stoke wanted to do last year was that's reason enough not to donate to his team. I get you feel bad for Zach because, you know, Zach has to put up with Stoke all the time. So you're really donating. I really think that the fan base is donating to Zach more than they are to Stoke. They just put up with Stokely.
Yeah, probably a lot of sympathy for Zach, right?
Right. We've got a 4-shot lead and then you want to play one hole for you're not going to beat us by 5 strokes on that hole. On a par 4, right? I mean, you want to throw the scorecards out and say, now let's go.
Right.
Now, you're four strokes down.
To use a football analogy, what Stoke was saying last year was, look, you hammered us. It's 35-7 at the end of 3 quarters. But, hey, let's play the 4th quarter and start 0-0.
Right.
Who's gonna sign up for that?
It's not even the 4th quarter. It's like, let's play the last 3 minutes of the 4th quarter.
Good call.
It's 0-0.
Good call.
Good call.
Yeah.
Here's one. You two are losing because you keep saying Drew Lock needs to be the QB. We don't donate to skim milk guys like y'all.
Oh.
Not saying Drew Lock needs to be the QB. I said Drew Lock needs to have competition. I said this in October. I said, look, I'm prepared to give Drew Lock the opportunity to show he can make the leap, but he doesn't get to do it uncontested. There needs to be a safety net. There needs to be competition.
I said that in October.
And look at what they're doing. Exactly that. Brett Rippon's a better quarterback than Drew Lock.
That is a ridiculous take.
Best man wins.
I don't buy any of that. I believe in competition. I believe in going out there and earning your job. And I don't believe that Drew Lock or anybody else has done that to this point. And that's what's got to happen. They've got to go out there and they've got to compete and somebody's got to win this thing. And you can do all that stuff. And if Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden becomes available and signs, he's your quarterback. I mean, it's pretty simple. The situation that we find ourselves in is pretty simple, Mike.
This text, the Pats, sound more like the Chiefs and Mahomes. Win one championship and suddenly you walk on water and are the GOAT.
It's a good point.
Good point. Maybe.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena. I mean, I'm not going to argue with it. We are the unicorns.
Yeah, maybe the Patriots example is a little bit much.
Yeah.
We go back to back. Next year, we can call ourselves that. Maybe right now we are more like the Chiefs.
Either way, that's not going to bother me. We're going to play hard and we're just that much more talented than everybody else. It's not our, sorry. I mean,
Joe says, guys, sweep the leg. No mercy today.
No mercy.
Cobra Kai reference.
Yeah. You know what? It's a great call. We're just going to go out there without any mercy. Yeah. I'm not looking for excuses. No. You know, I mean, everybody else on the fan feels great. Oh, body's in great shape. No, I'm miserable just like I was when I was playing.
Right.
And, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and dispense justice.
You know what, Mark? You know what we're doing today?
What's that?
We are channeling our inner Johnny Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
We are going full Johnny Lawrence today.
That's right. That is right.
Mixing little crease.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there will be no Daniel LaRusso out there with his little crane stance. You know what happens when he gets? You know what happens when Stokely gets in his crane stance? I just punch him right in the nose, drop him, bam. Now what with your little crane dance?
You're close. Give them to me now.
All right. So you can go to denverfan.com/match. To be able to make your donation, and in the area where it says special instructions and comments, just write in, hey, donating this on behalf of Schlereth and Evans. That's all we ask. And
yeah.
Most importantly, though, is the donation, because we're raising funds for the First Tee Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged youth in our community to learn life skills through golf. All right. Coming up, hold on. I'm going to hold on to this one. I think we have a winner. You know what that means.
Okay.
We'll hold on to that one. But coming up next, should George Payton have stripped down the Broncos and started over in his image? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So I sat down and did a three-part interview with Dan Jacobs, who is filling in for Sean Drotar on the Fan late night this week. And the first part of it aired yesterday. And he came after me. The judge came after me.
Really?
For basically endorsing George Payton's continuance of the failed John Elway model. that all he has done in his first year is basically endorse the John Elway model. And I suppose when you think about it, I guess he has, right? Drew Lock is still here, albeit with competition. Von Miller's back for another year. You know, the guts of this football team hasn't really changed. If anything, they went out and made some of those short splash free agent moves that sort of go right along with Elway's we're committed to winning this year mentality.
Well, see, this is where I guess I would disagree. I mean, I think he came into a situation, he got this long-term six-year deal, but he came in with some parameters. Like, right now, we're not going to blow up this coaching staff simply because, you know, you don't like the coaching staff or you want change. We're gonna hang on to it because, you know, we're gonna essentially honor the contract. We don't want to keep paying guys that aren't coaching here anymore because we've been doing that for quite some time. So I think you're hamstrung to some degree in that realm. I think the other thing is Mike, you're coming into a situation where you've got to study the roster. You've got to create moves on that roster to make you a more competitive team. You saw that with all the different DBs that they signed, whether it's Fuller or whether it's Darby. You know, they went out and got a couple of guys from Minnesota that they were familiar with, you know, running back position, defensive tackle position. So, like, I look at it more of, hey, I'm sticking with the philosophy that I brought with me from Minnesota, something that I believe in, something that is my nature as a scout. And so I don't necessarily look at it like, hey, you're just sticking with a John Elway philosophy. John Elway's philosophy was, I don't have a philosophy. One minute we're going to be West Coast, multiple tight ends, we're going to run the ball. The next minute we're going to be, hey, spread them out in three wides, let's just draft wide receivers and get speed. Like, that's not a philosophy to me. That's changing, in the direction whichever way the wind's blowing, that's just changing your direction. So I just don't necessarily agree with Dan Jacobs' premise there that you're just following suit.
Yeah, I disagreed with him as well in the course of our conversation. You can hear it coming up later tonight. But, you know, my point was, well, how much do you expect George Payton to be able to come in and completely slash and burn and strip this thing down to the studs? And what's wrong with, he came in, he had his first draft class, right? I mean, and it was pretty clear with his first draft class that he was clearly putting his imprint on what he wants to do with this franchise moving forward, starting with the fact that he didn't take a quarterback when it would have been so easy to do, starting with the fact that he traded up for Javonte Williams in the second round with a clear idea. I mean, come on, you can't help but notice that he must think that this guy can be the Broncos' version of Dalvin Cook, who was also taken in the second round by the Minnesota Vikings. So you've seen him make his immediate imprint. I look at it as, okay, the Broncos had oodles of money to spend in free agency. They're one of the top salary cap available teams in the entire league. What's wrong with going out and making some moves in free agency with the idea of trying to win this year, as long as you're not signing these free agents to the kind of deals that can really hamstring you 2, 3, 4 years out? He didn't do that. So my response would be, what's wrong with making the kind of moves with the idea of trying to win this year? But all the while, you've already come in just with your first draft class and sent a clear message about how you want to try to put your, you know, your stamp on things. I don't have a problem with it. Why can't you do both?
I don't either. And again, it comes down to, you know, the magic diet pill, right? If you just would have drafted Justin Fields, then everything would be okay. You know, that's what Chicago Bears said when they drafted Mitch Trubisky. That's what the Jets said when they drafted Sam Darnold. That's what the Arizona Cardinals thought when they drafted Josh Rosen. I mean, come on. It goes on and on and on and on again, with the magic diet pill that you've been sold. And there is no, I think one of the things that was interesting when George Payton took over the franchise as the general manager, he said, hey, this is a sleeping giant. And a lot of people thought it was a reference to, the fact that, hey, this roster is really good and we're close. I don't believe that at all. I believe he said when you are good as a Denver Bronco, because of the time zone you play in and because of the national attention that you have, you are a sleeping giant from a rating standpoint, from what you can do and the way you can be a destination spot in Denver, unlike the NBA, unlike, you know, baseball. This is a destination city when it comes to football, and you are a sleeping giant. When you start winning, I mean, this is a place where free agents want to congregate. So I think that's what he's saying. By the way, I've got an update for you, Mike. I didn't mean to get off track here, but I've got to do this. My friends at Newton Running, the Newton Shoes, that I'm working on the big man shoe, a line of big man shoes with right now that hopefully will be ready to launch in August. But, my guys at Newton Running, just donated $1,000 in our name.
All right.
Just
thank
donated
you
a
so
thousand.
Much.
So
thank
we
you, thank
are
you.
Like, hey, listen, you know what? You let everybody else go out there and sprint, right? We understand this is why we're the best. We understand that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Right.
And meanwhile, you know, Stokely's got an ice bag on his hammy, Zach's got an ice bag on his quad, you know. You got Tyler with an ice bag on his back and his neck, and D-Mac is just eating mung beans. Sandy's just sitting around wondering what happened. Orlando has no clue.
Now, Chickabella.
Right? I mean, it's too easy.
Yeah,
it's a marathon. It's, we understand. And now our great listeners are stepping up to the plate.
It's starting to feel like Secretariat at the Belmont on the backstretch right now. It really is. All right. Somebody just sent in a quick text. I will donate $20 if Mark stops lip smacking and coffee slurping on the air. Now, sorry.
How about you just give the $20 and just turn us off for the next hour,
or just enjoy the coffee slurping, because that's a man enjoying his coffee. Okay,
well, that's what
that's
I do.
That's a man
that's
enjoying
what I do.
His coffee. Four Down Territory coming up next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is Four Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks. Laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, break. First Down.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Yeah, so apparently now the NFL is going to accept bids from cities that would like to host the NFL Combine starting in 2023. Of course, a longtime fixture in Indianapolis since 1987. I don't know, Mark, we all would love to see the draft here in Denver at some point. Do you consider holding the Combine a bit of a prestigious honor as well?
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I mean, I think all the people it brings in, the NFL people it brings into the city and all that would be awesome. I don't know about facility standpoint of where you're going to host it. It obviously needs to be indoors. You're working out 300 plus players, interviews and everything else. So I just don't know facilities wise. Do you have the facilities to do it? Could you do it in the Pepsi Center or Ball Arena or whatever it is now? The SAC. I don't know if you could do it in the SAC. It'd be interesting, man. It'd be fun to have it. I know that, but I just don't know. I mean, we can't get a Super Bowl without a retractable roof and a closed stadium, so I just don't think we're going to get the Combine either.
Yeah, I think just for the time being, let's just try to go after the draft. I think the draft here would be a really, really cool thing. Next in Four Down Territory.
Second Down.
I got his back through everything, so he knows at the end of the day, if there's ever a wonder of, you know, he's lost a teammate or something because of all this come out, like, he knows where I stand. I'll stand on the mountain and scream on the mountaintop, you know, that I got his back.
Benny, what did he say that you had to delete? Oh, okay. Devontae Adams says that Green Bay players aren't talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I believe that.
No, I mean, I don't believe that either. Are they talking? Yeah, of course they're talking about Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, they know that, hey, they know the inevitability of what happens in the NFL is they move on. That wheel will always keep spinning. And regardless of how big you are, once you're done and once you go away, it just keeps moving down the track. You know, the train keeps going down the track, Mike. So, like, there's no sense in crying about it or whining about it, or even talking about it. Are they talking about Aaron Rodgers, like, behind closed doors and everything? Yeah. When they go to work, are they talking about Aaron Rodgers and how he would have done it? No. Because they know that, A, it may not end well. They know he may not be back. They know that they may be playing with Jordan Love, and they got to get used to it now. So, yeah, I believe that they're not. During private moments, are they talking about it? Absolutely. But why they're working and why they're going through meetings, are they? No.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Bell stays in at running back. Twist by the Browns up front. Slant. Cut Kelsey at the 10. 5. Angling left. Dodge into the end zone. Touchdown. Kansas City. Travis Kelsey. His 7th postseason touchdown grab. That ties an all-time NFL record with Vernon Davis and Dave Casper.
Chiefs radio. Wow, you just left it at that? Play-by-play guy? You didn't start talking about swimming with sharks and baby sharks and Shark Week and all that?
Yeah.
Such restraint. Travis Kelce telling SiriusXM NFL radio that despite having a record-setting season, becoming the first tight end to earn 1,000 yards in 5 straight seasons, he said that the season was a failure. Said, quote, I took a note from the Bulls when they were winning their championships and had their run. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got the ring. All those accolades, all that stuff, it might be cool when I'm sitting down on a couch watching the young guys trying to chase the record. But right now, none of that really meant anything. Last year was a failure to me.
Love it when you have that championship mentality. As an organization, when the championship is the only thing that you're really fighting for, hey, all the other accolades are great. Reminds me of Brady talking to, I think it was Mayo, the linebacker, when he didn't make the Pro Bowl, and he had a really good season, should have been a Pro Bowler. And Brady goes, you think I play this game for Pro Bowls? I'm worried about winning a championship. Forget that nonsense, right? Forget that the vote. Forget all that stuff. I appreciate that organizational mentality of it's Super Bowl or bust because I played in it. I played in 2 organizations that had that mentality. And when you have that mentality, it's a, I'll tell you what, it's a great mentality to have. And, you know, I hope that, at some point this organization gets it back.
Should I go there, Benny? Should I go there? Ah, what the heck? So, is Travis Kelce growing in your eyes? Like, do you wish now that your daughter ended up going out with him?
No.
Travis Schlereth?
Travis Schlereth. It's got a ring to it. And plus, he'd be putting up all kinds of records. And, you know, and it would just be another thing that I could name drop and brag on, right?
You know, attach your brand to.
Right. No, I'm glad that she's not dating that clown. He plays for Kansas City.
There you go. Just when I'm worried, you go out and you redeem yourself.
Right, exactly.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
So NFL players will have until July 2nd to opt out of the 2021 season. Apparently, due to the COVID-19 protocols that are still out there for teams, they'll have that option again. Now, the only difference is that the opt-outs, the voluntary opt-outs, will not entitle players to a stipend like they got last season. So you can opt out, but you don't get the regular stipend, unless you are deemed higher risk. Okay, if you are deemed higher risk, you are entitled to a $350,000 stipend, but voluntary opt-outs will not be compensated.
Okay.
It was $150,000 last year.
All right. Well, I guess. I mean, are the guys still opting out?
We'll find out. 67 players opted out last year.
Okay. So, I mean, what if you refuse to get vaccinated like Cole Beasley?
Then you're still going to have to go through the different tests and protocols in order to be able to play.
Right.
You could opt out, but if you choose not to get vaccinated, you will still be subject to protocols in order to be able to be cleared to play.
Okay.
So we'll follow that. 67 last year. We'll see July 2nd, very, very quickly coming up. We'll see if anybody and how many choose to opt out. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, John Clayton talks and writes about a scenario in which Deshaun Watson could miss multiple NFL seasons. The professor joins us next. John Clayton is our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com. He joins us now, and John, it was with a great interest that I read your latest piece here at DenverFan.com, and perhaps you can expand upon the very real possibility that Deshaun Watson could be missing multiple seasons.
Yeah, and this comes from Ben Waller from the Fox Sports Radio, and he comes up with some really good points. And what it comes down to is that what you're looking at for Watson is that he's not going to be deposed until February 22nd of next year. He's not going to have a trial until the earliest maybe May of next year, and that could, with the 22 cases, last all the way till July. All right. So one of the things that the NFL doesn't like to do is go ahead and try to make too many rash decisions on a final case when they don't know the guilt, whether he's going to be guilty or innocent. And so it's like that very well puts him in a position where this year you can think the possibility, at least Ben says, that they can put him on the commissioner exempt list. Now, he goes on a commissioner's exempt list. I mean, he could stay there the whole season and collect his entire salary, which I'm sure that he might consider unless he wants to go back to Houston. And then, of course, next year, because, again, the league doesn't have any back type of, if you get a suspension or anything like that, you don't have any kind of a back thing that you can go to. So, I mean, he very well can be suspended into next year. But I think there's now a growing chance that he could miss this season and still get paid, which on the exempt list can happen.
Yeah. What if all of a sudden, like in the next couple of weeks or whatever, he ends up settling all these lawsuits and they all go away? Even with that, wouldn't you speculate there's still going to be some type of punitive damage? Then the league will go into their kind of investigation and some type of punishment still that is yet to be determined.
Yeah, 100%. There's no way he can get out of 22 cases. And again, getting 22 cases scheduled is going to be really impossible. But again, if he could, fine. But at the very end, I mean, you look at the past. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger didn't get charged in any kind of an illegal type of thing with a girl that he had in Georgia back in 2011, but he got a 6-game suspension that they shortened to 4. Ezekiel Elliott had a problem with a girl, and he got a 6-game suspension. So I think at the very least, what you're looking at is going to be 6 games. But when you're talking 22 people, then that's almost going to be more than 6 games. But at the very least, you have to think he's going to get a 6-game suspension if he can settle these suits. And right now, the attorney says he's not trying to settle any of these suits.
As you look at George Payton, we've been having this discussion the last couple of days, John, and it seems like we're starting, the pendulum has kind of swung the other way, that after a lot of early favorable impressions about what Payton did, it's going the other way. We're hearing more from folks who say that, first of all, he failed in not drafting a quarterback when he had such a great opportunity to do so in Justin Fields, and the idea that all he's really done is just kind of come in and extended the John Elway model rather than coming in and truly putting his own imprint on the franchise. Do you agree with any of that?
I 100% disagree because, I mean, look at what he's been able to do. I mean, first off, he did get a slight upgrade as far as competition because what he didn't want to do is totally wash out Drew Locke, right? He still thinks there's a good talent there, all those different things, and he didn't want to replace him with a quarterback this year. Okay, secondly, I mean, he's fixed up the defense. That was so important. The defense gave up 27.9 points a game and was 21st in yards allowed. All right, so now what's he do? I mean, he comes in, he gets 2 cornerbacks in free agency and Patrick Surtain. So now they're he was able to cut Kareem Jackson and get him back. And now they have probably the best secondary in the NFL. Then, you know, you got the receiving core with Cortland Sutton back, and they've got, according to Pro Football Focus, the sixth best wide receiver group. Then you look at running back. Okay, sure, they had Melvin Gordon. Now, you know, they add Javonte Williams. You know, they add Mike Boone at the backfield, and as far as just being a good backup and special teams player. And so now they're one of the deeper running back groups in the league. So I couldn't disagree more. I mean, again, plus they're in a position where, you know, what's the one team that can, if they're going to trade eventually Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to get him, and that's going to be the Denver Broncos. I mean, I'm 100% disagreeing with any criticism of George Payton in that sense, because at this stage, I mean, he's now got a defense that he's fixed up that now could be one of the better, one of the top 10 defenses in the league, and on offense, they're in pretty good shape as far as pass catchers.
You know, you are one of the most connected people I know in this league. So any new news on the Aaron Rodgers front and what will happen with him in Green Bay?
It's gonna go all the way till probably into the regular season, because again, he doesn't want to go back. He doesn't want to be a Packer. He's mad at management. I mean, you saw the comment that Mark Murphy made, the president of the team, about two weeks ago, where he said that it's like, well, you know, Ted Thompson used to tell me he's a complicated fella. And what was the response by Aaron Rodgers? He goes on the promotion that he has for the charity event in July with Tom Brady golf and Phil Mickelson and that, and he says, I'm offended. Okay, so you can see he's still mad at management, and he's getting madder at management. And you're talking about a complicated fella, as he is, that you know, even turns off family members when necessary. So I still think it holds on, but there's nothing that's going to be new, you know, other than maybe some comments made by the Packers and his reaction to it. But no, there's nothing new, because again, this is going to be a waiting game, but the waiting game, I think, is going to leave the Packers dry.
All right, John. Always appreciate the insight and the input. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there goes John Clayton.
And now, I'm done with my segment.
All right, John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com. That's interesting stuff involving Deshaun Watson, the possibility of 2 years out. And you know, when you start breaking it down, and if he is not going to settle, and as John says, as of right now, his attorney says he will not, then you're talking about the gears of justice rolling slowly here. He's not going to be deposed until February 22nd, 2022. And then you're talking about trials that wouldn't start until May of 2022. So if this is going to be one of those things that these cases go through and they're not settled, you're right. This thing is going to drag on for quite a long time.
Yeah, it'll be like, hey, we can either get Aaron Rodgers now at 37 or 38, or we can wait till Deshaun Watson's 35 and he's eligible to play again.
Right.
The uncertainty of his career and where he is right now. I would not at all be surprised. You know, I mean, you always kind of puff out your chest and you have your game where we're not settling and we're not doing this. And then all of a sudden those things can change. I just don't see any, I really don't see any quick resolution to the Deshaun Watson situation. Even if you get all 22 cases to settle, Mike, the NFL is going to come with a heavy hand, and there's going to be punitive damages based upon your actions and based upon what's gone on and the fact that you besmirched the league to some degree. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't see this thing ending anytime soon.
If he settles,
uh-huh.
And there is some sort of suspension, but it's, you know, 4 or 6 games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's deemed eligible to play. Do you want your team, do you want the Broncos to go after this guy? You know, for many people, you know, you settle. Right. It's basically an admission of guilt.
Yeah, I think there is so much talent there, Mike, that most organizations will say, hey, listen, you know, this guy is, he's settled, but he made some mistakes. He's admitted those mistakes. He's, you know, paid whatever debt he has to pay. And, you know, the talent is so exceptional that we're going to be part of the rehabilitation program, if you will.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's how you sell it. And I think there's probably, there may be a couple of teams in the league that wouldn't give him that opportunity, but those teams are already set at quarterback.
Right.
Right. Like, the Chargers would be like, there was no way we would let that, you know, right. There's no way we would have him play for organization, you know, and the Chiefs and a couple other organizations that would, you know, pound that drum, so to speak. But, the other 28 organizations, they'd all be like, yep, we're in.
Yep. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
The talent is too extreme.
Correct.
The talent is too good. The age is too young. The upside is too broad. And along with that young career that still has a lot of years left on it, also can be spun in a way that's a lot of time to redeem and rehabilitate an image and do a lot of great things in your new community that you're traded to. Yes, if the Broncos ended up trading for Deshaun Watson, would there be a lot of backlash and hue and cry about it? Yep. I mean, would there be people that would threaten to say, I'm giving up my season tickets? Yep. Although I'd believe it when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the end, you know what? In the end, I think fans are fans, and fans, they root for the laundry. They root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. And if that guy can come in and help you win football games, I think people will get over it.
Yeah, the way that you
and they'll
always
sign on.
Right, you always say it. There'll be a lot of pearl clutching, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as that guy has a four touchdown game and you come back from a 14 point deficit to win it,
yep.
All is forgiven. You know.
I mean, that's the way it is in sports, and it wouldn't be the first time. You know, that a guy, that a person who's been in trouble,
mm-hmm.
Has been able to rehabilitate his image in part because of the outstanding football or baseball or basketball that he plays.
Right.
And that's just being honest. I mean, that's just being real. So now the question is, let's say the Texans see this thing dragging out for a while and they say, all right, we're willing to move him now. You know, we want to get what we can get right now. Do you trade for him while this stuff is still hanging, or do you have to have some sort of resolution before you can even think about making a move?
I think you have to have some. I mean, you cannot give up. You can't give up valuable assets for a guy that may never play again.
Right. Could be in jail.
Right. I mean, you just like there's got to be some resolution. Here's the other thing. If you learned anything during the whole Antonio Brown saga, there are a lot of teams that were interested in having the conversation, but were like, until we have resolution on how long he's going to be suspended by the league. Remember, the league just shuffled their feet. And it got to the point where, I don't want to say he was a sympathetic figure, but even for me, who wants to hold him accountable and say, hey, dude, don't be an idiot. You know, I was like, at some point, as a league, you're doing a disservice to one of your players. Like, your players' association needs to stand up and say, you guys need to tell us exactly how long this guy is suspended for, because no team will touch him right now.
Right.
And you know, that's not right either. So, you can't do that. You cannot make a trade. You cannot do anything for Deshaun Watson until you know exactly what the parameters are going to be in regards to what his future holds. You know, how much suspension? Will he serve a jail sentence? What, like, you just don't know. And until that happens, you can't really in good faith kind of go down that road.
This texter says, I'll be done as a fan if he comes to Denver. Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll believe that when I see it, but you know, I think in this business, if you are cleared to play, you're cleared to play by the NFL.
Right.
Then I think you gotta be open to bringing the guy in. if he can help you win. I mean, it's pro sports. It's pro sports. The job is to win, right? You are paid to win. You're paid to perform. And as fans, you support these pro teams with the idea that you root for them to win. The expectation is to win.
Mm-hmm.
You're not out there rooting for them to, you know, just be, you know, good guys and represent the community well and finish in last place. You know, you're rooting for them to win.
Right.
It's just being honest. I mean, come on, folks. I'm just being honest. Okay, this is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.